Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Nectar of Instruction. We are discussing text 4 and among the six elements of text 4, Dati Pratigrahanati and Bhumte Bhojayate Chaiva. With the four that we discussed, now we will discuss Guhyam Akhyati Prichyati. That we how we should reveal our heart in confidence and share our heart in confidence. This is actually one of the most important aspects of devotional service. And this will determine whether we will have deep relationships or superficial relationships. So, we'll discuss what it means to share our heart in confidence. The sharing of the heart can be at multiple levels. At the level of pure devotional service or very advanced devotional service, both the devotees' hearts are wedded to Krishna. And naturally they talk about Krishna. So we see this, for example, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be with his intimate associates, say Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramanand Rai. These were his two most intimate associates in the Gambhira, that was his place, in Jagannath Puri. And they would discuss very confidential pastimes of Krishna. And they would sing verses, recite verses on the Bhagavatam, sing songs. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be in ecstasy. So this is a very intimate sharing of the heart. And that is the ultimate goal of all devotees. If you want to, machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam. That bodhayantah parasparam kathayantashmam ityam. That when we talk to each other about Krishna, and in that we relish the supreme happiness. In fact, it is said in the Bhagavatam that parasparanath kathanam, that the joy of discussing Krishna katha with a very intimate devotee, it is the highest pleasure that two human beings can have. At a material level, two people come together, the highest pleasure that they can have is the pleasure of bodily relationship, of sex. But higher than that is the pleasure when two human beings come together as devotees and discuss intimately about the common object of their love, that is Krishna. So this is what we aspire for. Like-minded devotees come together and very intimately discuss about Krishna. So we see this again and again in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ishwar Puri did this kind of service for Madhavendra Puri. Not only did he take care of his body, but also he very intimately served his spiritual master by speaking about Krishna in his final days. So that is at the highest level, where in my heart Krishna is there, another heart, and our devotee's heart Krishna is there. Both of us come together and we intimately discuss Krishna. So this is also what we do when we come together officially in classes. But it may not be so much that in my heart Krishna is there. It may be that Krishna is primarily in my head, little bit in my heart also. And in the case of audience also, little bit in their head, little bit in the heart. And we try to intellectually understand and relate and try to develop our relationship with Krishna in whatever way we can. So that is also quite nourishing for the heart, because we are discussing about Krishna and anything centered on Krishna is good. So at one level is two devotees discussing Krishna intimately. At another level is two devotees discussing their service to Krishna. So the two are not necessarily different, but in some cases they do become different. Now, for example, Draupadi and the queens of Dwarka, when they met together, then the queens of Dwarka asked Draupadi, you know, how do you serve your husbands? You know, you are one wife and you have five husbands. You know, we are so many and we all have to serve one husband. So we are in a different predicament, but our service is the same. Please tell us, how do you serve? And in Mahabharata is described, Draupadi tells, you know, how she is the first to wake, she is the last to rest, and she never she serves all her husbands dutifully. She ensures that they all take food before she takes. And she gives a long variety of ways in which she serves. And seeing the sincerity with which she serves her husbands, all the queens of Dwarka, they are very impressed and inspired. Now, in a sense, we could say in the hierarchy, the Dwarka Vasis are higher than the Hastinapur Vasis. Dwarka Vasis are considered more intimate associates. Dwarka is a part of the spiritual world directly. So, But they have no haughtiness that we are superior to you. When they come together, they learn from each other. How can we serve better? So similarly, when two devotees come together, then they can learn, they can talk about their services. For example, there are two book distributors who come together and they share their experiences. Oh, you know, while book distributing, we did like this, this is what happened. Or to people who have constructed temples in different places, they come together. So service brings us together. And then because the service is centered on Krishna, the talks are also connected with Krishna, but they focus on service to Krishna. So now, Srila Prabhupada would often, when he would discuss about Krishna consciousness, he would either talk philosophy, or when the disciples would come, he would talk about the services. You know, his way of interacting with the disciples, when you go on morning walks, most of his morning walks, he'll be talking philosophy. And the morning walks emerge spontaneously. They emerge spontaneously means that one day Srila Prabhupada said, I want to go on morning walk. Those who want, they can come with me. And when they started going, they found that Prabhupada is in a different mood, quite relaxed, observing nature and making some comments based on nature. And the devotees, they started seeing the whole world with new eyes because of Prabhupada's Krishna consciousness. And these became among the most loud of all of Prabhupada's events. Prabhupada's classes were there when he was the Acharya speaking formally. Srila Prabhupada was Acharya even when he went on a morning walk. But the mood was more intimate, more sweeter. Srila Prabhupada was equally instructive, but much more relaxed, much more approachable, in a sense. Devotees could ask him questions and he would answer. And he would look at nature and by from obvious facts, he would derive extraordinary insights. So that was Srila Prabhupada talking at the first level. Guhyam Akhyati Pruchyati. Prabhupada was showing the devotees Krishna in nature, in the world, in the things that we day to day see, but we don't see their Krishna connection. Then Srila Prabhupada, when devotees would come, they would report their services. And he would ask them and he would guide them. You see, devotees are going to say, Russia and preaching and they're trying to do something. And Srila Prabhupada would tell, okay, you do this, don't do this. And they would share their problems and Prabhupada would respond to them. And Prabhupada was, as a manager, he was down there, especially in India. He was right on the ground. His head was in Golok Vrindavan, his heart was in Golok Vrindavan. But when Srila Prabhupada was taking care of the affairs of ISKCON, his feet were firmly on the ground and he was aware of who was cheating, who was competent, who was not competent. And yet Srila Prabhupada had enormous trust in his disciples. At the same time, he was aware that they were inexperienced and they could be fleeced by the Indians who would take 10, sometimes take 5 times more amount of which they would normally get from other Indians. Just because these people were foreigners. So the point was, Srila Prabhupada would instruct devotees in service. You know, in the first days, when Srila Prabhupada started started receiving guests, you know, Prabhupada would himself be on the ground, and when the bed had to be laid, the cushions had to be laid, Prabhupada himself on all fours, crumpling out the, removing all the crumples in the sheet, and showing devotees how things should be set up for receiving guests. Prabhupada would teach disciples how to clean, using a broom and a mat and a cloth and a broom and a cloth, and Prabhupada would talk with devotees. So these were the moments when Srila Prabhupada brought Krishna alive in the laboratory of the world for his disciples. He showed them that talking about Krishna and working for Krishna was not just something theoretical, something practical. Some devotees would go to ask Srila Prabhupada for money, and the way he would look in his pocket, early days, Prabhupada himself was the president of the temple, the commander of the temple, the treasurer of the temple, and the counselor of the temple. Prabhupada was everything at that time, the early days. So if somebody wanted money, they would go directly to Prabhupada. We're talking about 1966-67. So Srila Prabhupada, even when he would take out a coin, you know, his hand would move like it was performing an artistic dance. Gracefully take out a coin. And normally a person would take a coin, toss it out. But Prabhupada would gracefully take it out. He knew he was handling Lakshmi and he handed it to the disciples. So through all these, the devotees' hearts grew closer and closer to Krishna. So there can be Guhyam Akhyati Pruchyati with respect to services. George Harrison came to Srila Prabhupada and one time he asked Prabhupada, do you want me to shave and join like everybody else? And Prabhupada said, no, you have been given the talent to sing and to compose music, you sing about Krishna. and the whole world will be benefited by that. And he did that, and initially he became very popular. But later on, you know, when he tried to do it a little bit too much, from the public perception too much, he tried to get people to chant Hare Krishna. Then the reaction was not very receptive. You know, he got negative reviews for his songs. The people didn't like it. Because when somebody becomes very big, you know, they have become big because they are providing sense gratification to people. And suddenly from that top spot, somebody starts providing something else. So trying to give Krishna, they can do it, but up to a particular limit. People want them to fit in a particular mold. So then he went back and met Srila Prabhupada. This is not described in Leelamrita. This actually, it can come other book. There's a biography of George Harrison called Here Comes the Sun. So that's written by Joshua Green, one of Prabhupada's disciples, Yogeshwar Prabhu. So there he describes how he went and met Srila Prabhupada and he bared his heart before Prabhupada. He says, Prabhupada, I feel as if instead of bringing people to Krishna, I am causing people to go away from Krishna. And I am losing my friends also. He says, I take one step forward, then I am feeling as if I am taking 10 steps behind. So, what should I do? And Prabhupada understood this. This has been an eternal dilemma. You know, when a person tries to move towards God, often that person has to move away from the world. So at that time, Prabhupada looked at him sympathetically. I said, Prabhupada told him, don't overdo it. Basically he said that, you know, do whatever you can within your position. You don't have to disturb yourself. And then after, so till at that time, Prabhupada almost, George Harrison, almost every song he was bringing in Krishna. But then after that, he toned down a little bit. And then again his popularity went up. So Prabhupada was expert about how to guide somebody who is a pure devotee, somebody who is aspiring for directly pure devotional service, serious devotees. Prabhupada told him, you just sing Hare Krishna. We are not concerned with musical styles too much. We want to have good music, but our goal is not to become musicians. Our goal is to be singers for Krishna's pleasure. But somebody who is a professional musician, Prabhupada would instruct differently. So this is Guhyam Akhyati Puchyati. A devotee comes. So now we are coming from the second to the third part. Second part is related with our third service. Third is related with our own challenges, our anathas, our problems. And this actually is the most challenging. That we need help in fighting our private battles. Guhyam Akhyati Puchyati. So, at one level, ultimately we all have a relationship with Krishna. But Krishna right now is not very easily accessible to us from within our hearts. So what do? We have to access Krishna in other ways. What are those other ways? We have to access Krishna through Guru Sadhu Shastra. And the more we access Krishna to Guru Sadhu Shastra, we follow those instructions, and by that gradually we start coming closer and closer to Krishna internally also. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport about how we need to practice Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees. He says the movement of ISKCON has been created for the sake of nourishing the sixfold exchanges between devotees. So devotees are not just meant to be physically together in the moment, but they are also meant to emotionally come to closer to each other and closer to Krishna. That is one of the purposes among the purposes of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada said. So, that being the case, how exactly can this be implemented in our life? So when I have some anarthas, I feel myself overcome by lust or anger or greed or pride or envy or illusion, then at your time, what do I do? So in general, we may get guidance from classes, we may hear something from senior devotees, and we can apply that and try to learn. But there are times when the challenge becomes too much and we are fighting alone and we feel overcome. So at that time, we have to go and talk with some trustworthy senior devotee, ideally if we have a counselor, with that counselor we discuss, and we get some intimate guidance. And by that we learn. So the most important thing here is that this sort of Guhyam Akhyati Puchyati, we really need a very intimate devotee. If we don't have an intimate devotee, then we can't share this. And even when there is an intimate devotee, that devotee also has to be trustworthy. Now what we speak in the privacy of our closed room with that devotee, if that goes broadcast to the world, then it can terribly embarrass us. And we are certainly not pure devotees that we won't care for embarrassment. And it's not just our embarrassment or our ego getting hurt. In principle, if something is spoken in private, it should not be spoken in public to others. So, in many counseling sessions, that is, the counselor is almost like sworn to a code of secrecy. That the counselor will be able to open up only when the counselor maintains privacy. If the counselor doesn't maintain privacy, then the counselor cannot open up. So, in general, when a devotee speaks, if we have to speak to some senior devotees, say if there is a counselor and there is a counselor, if there is a person who is being guided and there is a guide, so what they speak, that should never be spoken to others. It has to be spoken generally, it should be with the consent of the subordinate, unless of course, if it's an issue so serious, it involves something which involves breaking the laws of the state and involves legal complications, then immediately we may have to alert higher authorities. Or if it involves other serious consequences, but everything has to be done very cautiously, respectfully, and sensitively. So, how do we go about this? You know, we cannot expect this guhyam akhyati purchati. It doesn't, first of all, mean that we all come with our own baggage. And none of us is problem-free. All of us have had anarthas. Sometimes when we see some senior devotees happily chanting, dancing, singing, we start thinking as if that they are always like this. But nobody actually fell from their mother's womb with a tilak on their head and a bead bag in their hands. You know, everybody was born in the material world and everybody has their conditionings. And those conditionings actually create challenges for all of us. Everyone has their challenges. And while we face those challenges, it's important for us to know that things have to move forward step by step by step. So what does it mean to move forward step by step? That means that the relationships develop also as we are going along. Like when two warriors go on a battlefield together, two soldiers go together, two generals go together, say. No, they may not know each other so well. But when they are facing the enemy bullets together, then at that time, they understand, I have to watch your back, you have to watch my back. You know, so actually there is this anecdote that when the American War for Independence was going on, it is, you know, the Americans were a small group of people, relatively speaking, they didn't have much weapons, they were scattered, and then the British army was there, so fighting against them was going to be very difficult. So at that time, one of the American leaders, he made a speech, and he said something which applies to us in Devotee Association also. He says, all of us have to hang together or we will all hang together. That means what? All of us have to hang together. That we have to stay together with each other and we have to fight unitedly. Otherwise, if we all be separated and all of us will be individually shot down or will be arrested and then all of us will hang together. That means we will be convicted and we will all hang. So that is true for all of us also. All of us have to hang together or we will hang together. So, what will happen is, if we don't have intimate relationship with devotees, we don't share our heart, then one by one, everybody will fall. Because internally, we cannot keep fighting against the mind forever without sometime or the other getting discouraged by the fight. Because we start wondering, how long can I keep fighting like this? How long? So, when that happens, then when we start getting discouraged, at that time, we need someone to encourage us. So, the mind can create so many illusions. When Sita was abducted by Ravana tried to win her over first by temptation. He took her and showed her a full palace. It was extraordinarily opulent. Then he showed her Pushpaka. And he was hoping that as a woman, when she sees such opulence, and she told her, you can be my chief queen. And all my other queens will be your maidservants. He thought she will get allured by this. But she did not pay any attention to that. So first he tried temptation, that didn't work. Then he tried threats. he told, you know, if you don't accept me, then I will have you cooked for my breakfast and I'll eat you up. And he told ugly looking monstrosities, practically speaking, who were guarding Sita over there, and they would threaten her constantly. So he tried threats. And that also didn't work, then he tried tricks. What did he do? He had a demon who was a sorcerer. And that sorcerer means a magician who can make all sorts of false things. So he made a, conjured up a head that looked like the head of Ram. And then he, Ravana, took that head and he ran off. He went to Sita's Ashoka Vatika and he said, "You are not ready to accept me because of that poverty-stricken weak mortal. I have killed him, and here is his head." And he threw the head in front of Ram. Threw the head of Ram, apparently the head of Ram, in front of Sita. And when Sita saw this, she was shocked. She almost swooned. And if you look at it, tears started coming from her eyes. And she said, "Oh, alas, what has happened? Alas, alas." That the astrologers had said that, you know, I would never become a widow. They have all been proven wrong. Kaikeyi's wish has been fulfilled. Now her son will become the king. She was utterly devastated. And she looked at Ravana. "Oh, Ravana," she said, "the same arrow that you killed Ram, let that arrow pierce through my body also. Let me die with him." And she was so heartbroken. This was not the reaction Ravana had expected. Ravana had expected she would submit to him. He was about to retort. At that time, suddenly his minister came there. And the minister told him that, "Actually, you're called for an urgent meeting in the assembly hall." So the Vanara army had surrounded Lanka and they were about to attack. So war preparation had to be made. So he just left Sita and went away from there. And then at that time, Vibhishan's wife, she came there. She had befriended Sita. And she consoled Sita. She told him, "This is just a ruse. This is just a illusion. Don't fall prey to this." And she told her, can you not hear the cries of war? Can you not hear the thudding of the footsteps? Can you not hear the blowing of the bugles? Actually, the war is far from over." Ravana had lied to her that while after the Vanaras and Ram and Lakshman had crossed across the bridge, they had been tired and they had gone to sleep. And at night, they had been attacked by the Rakshasa and all of them had been killed. He says, "It's all a lie. Actually, Ravana, the Vanaras are out and they're about to attack. And Ravana has been called out because the army has to be prepared for fighting." So when she heard this, Sita became calm. And she was reassured by that. So the point I'm making is, Ravana is like our mind. And the mind will create so many illusions by which we'll become discouraged. By which we'll feel as if, "Oh, I can't do anything. Maybe my conditionings are so much, I'll never be able to practice. I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that." And that way when we feel, then we will simply lose heart. We'll not be able to stay wholehearted. And once we become half-hearted, then Maya is always there ready. She'll crush her. So at such times, we need others to encourage us. So devotee association is with association where we can share our concerns and get those concerns addressed are very important. It is Guhyam Akhyati Pruchyati. So in by this kind of intimate association, we are able to move closer and closer to Krishna through the practical difficulties of life. So it's one thing to hear classes and think, "Oh, Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes are so sweet, so nice. I like hearing about him." That's good. But then Krishna shouldn't just be a sort of theoretical conception for them. We have to experience Krishna's shelter amid the daily battles of life. And that we can experience only if we are steadily practicing devotional service. So in this way, we move forward in our spiritual life. And as we keep moving forward, we go closer and closer to Krishna through the difficulties. So it takes time for us to find out with whom we can intimately associate, with whom we can share the heart. So we speak a few things and a few small things to some devotee and find out how things go forward. And then we speak something more. And by that, we learn. And then we see, okay, this person is trustworthy. I can share and I can get some advice, useful guidance also from this devotee. And then slowly, we move forward in our devotional life. And often if we want good friends, it's important that we hear, not just speak. Because often people just want someone to hear. And by hearing sympathetically also, by being available for others also, we serve a valuable purpose for them. We befriend them. And then beyond that, there is the principle of also giving some muhim akhyati pruchyati. Some devotee shares the heart we hear, and then we offer the best guidance, whatever we can, in that situation. So now, sharing the heart doesn't mean that we let others dump all their emotional garbage on us. Everybody has so much emotional garbage, which has come from the past. We all have our conditionings. And it's not necessary that we have to tell all the emotional garbage that we have gone through, that we accumulate in our head, to share our heart. Actually, the past is the past. And only that part of the past which is troubling us right now, or which we feel is likely to trouble us in the future, and that's why we are apprehensive how to deal with it, that's what we have to talk about. We don't have to talk about everything. So our time with the devotees should be spent in such a way that at the end of that time, we both feel drawn closer to Krishna. If by talking about our past, all that happens is that, you know, I relive my past degraded life and I start getting memories which stimulate those desires. And other people, the other person also hears, the other person also gets agitated. The other person also gets material desires by hearing those things. Then that is not guhyam akhyati pruchyati. That sort of association can cause contamination in both of them. So the important point is, it's not that we have to discuss the sordid details of everything that we did. But the important point is that whatever are the problems we are facing, we should be able to deal with them. I mean, whatever guidance is required for that. So Srila Prabhupada says that how, when we take the association, we have to take it very carefully. So, let's look at the purport here. Let's look at the purport. So when we associate, Srila Prabhupada explains that with whom, like Prabhupada says, devotee businessmen, and where do we associate? That is in ISKCON. We have created life membership and other facility of sixfold exchanges. Life members give donations, they invite to the houses, and they inquire about Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada is explaining the sixfold exchanges not just within the devotee community, but with the life members also. So they are doing Adati. And what is the devotee doing in return? Pratigrahanati is the devotee gives books and Back to God magazine. They arrange festival and give prasadam, and they explain the practice of Krishna consciousness. This also pratigrahan guhyam akhyati pruchyati. And then, why, what happens by this? The spiritual life is nourished and the dormant Krishna consciousness is revived. So in this way, there are exchanges which enable the devotees to grow in their devotional life because they are serving Krishna, and life members also to grow because they are also learning more about Krishna. Now, how is this to be done? So Srila Prabhupada quotes 2.62, which is called Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha. That in the association, desires develop. So the kind of association we have, accordingly we'll get those desires. So now, Srila Prabhupada talks a lot about this. And Dati, one is that we give the holy name. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is all given the purport. We can discuss that briefly here. So Shikshashtakam says that, by the holy name, what is the gift of the holy name? The holy name purifies the heart. And not just of those who consciously hear it and understand what is happening, but even the lower beings, the animals, who don't even hear, understand it, still they also get purified. Prabhupada quotes the conversation with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur about how the animals, how will they get purified? They'll get purified by hearing about the holy names, even if they don't understand it. And by that, what happens? People can abandon animosity. People can have their difference, but they come together and dance and sing, and they embrace each other while dancing, they forget their animosity. So now, in Guhyam Akhyati Pruchyati, so one has to understand the material situation of the material world. We discussed this earlier. And then we inquire about Krishna consciousness movement, how I can improve my Krishna consciousness. So, Bhungte Bhojayate, Prabhupada gives a practical example. Bhungte is, now we invite people and they come for Sunday feast. Bhojayate means they invite us to their homes and we take prasadam. So now as devotees, generally we try to avoid taking prasadam from non-devotees. But while avoiding prasadam from non-devotees, if somebody is devotionally inclined, then there is a sixfold exchange of affections that is involved. And that feeling of affection cannot be neglected. So if we go to somebody's house, we may not take full prasadam, we can take fruits or we can take something like that. So that the exchange, the principle of exchange is not lost. the principal exchange continues, and at the same time, our devotional principles are also maintained. So this has to be done intelligently and sensitively. So now, there is pratigrahanati. We are willing to ready and receive and to give. This is how the whole process of bhakti progresses. And what happens by this? We get success in spiritual life. We feel peace in our heart. There is tranquility. And there is peace. There is friendship that results. So all these happen because actually the quality of our spiritual life is ultimately based on the quality of our relationships. Because spiritual life ultimately is a relationship. It's a relationship with Krishna, and the relationship with Krishna is never in isolation. The relationship with Krishna is also related with our relationship with everyone else. So in our relationship with Krishna, in our relationship with everyone else, we experience intimacy. And through that intimacy, we move closer to Krishna and to others. So now, let's look at, Srila Prabhupada makes an elaborate purport about with whom we should not associate. So we should not associate with, the Mayavadis and the atheists. So why we should not associate with Mayavadis and atheists? Srila Prabhupada explains that, that is explained in the side. Then the poisonous associations, snake and milk and bananas. So any information, so what will happen is, what is that? If you, when we offer some food to snake, it will become kevalam vishavardhanam. Its poison will increase all the more. So therefore, we should not feed. So now what does this mean exactly? We should not associate with Mayavadis. There can be an intelligent understanding of this and a fanatical understanding of it. A fanatical understanding is that, you know, that as soon as we see Mayavadis, we have to start saying fools and rascals. Srila Prabhupada is not like that. That was not at all true. Now, there is many things that go on within the circle of Krishna consciousness also, which are actually myths. That means they are not truths, but just go running around in the devotee circle because of their sensationalist value. So, there is this whole idea that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, when he would accost Mayavadis, when Mayavadis would be walking on one side of the street, he would be walking on the other side of the street, he would go there and he would catch their collar and shake them and tell them, why are you teaching this nonsense? And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was a cultured person, he never did such things. He confronted Mayavad, but he confronted that with philosophical arguments. And he was not compromising in presenting philosophical presentations, but at the same time he was cultured in his presentation. So similarly, it's important that as devotees, we also present ourselves in a respectable way. So that means, you know, we don't have to go out of our way to associate with Mayavadis for having sixfold exchanges with them. That means the important point is not that we associate with them for the sake of sixfold reciprocations, but in some occasions, it may be required. For example, if there is some, especially in countries where Krishna consciousness is not the majority religion, it's a minority religion, like in most Western countries, then at that time, if there is some work to be done with the government, then government is unlikely to care for just one organization. They care for a community, which is a religion, which has an ancient tradition. So the Hindus may have to come together, and then we may have to make a common petition. So at that time, within the broad fold of what is called Hinduism today, there are impersonalists and there are personalists also. So devotees may have to work with impersonalists also to try to present Krishna consciousness properly. So when that is done, when devotees are presenting Krishna consciousness along with impersonalists, who also in a sense are a part of the broad culture. So our goal is to protect Krishna consciousness, but for that we have to work with other community people. Other people who also belong to the same faith community, then that is not necessarily considered bad association. See, bad association is when there is transfer of desires. So in general, we have to be careful. Because if we are not careful, there is contamination possible. There is a transfer of desires possible. But the transfer of desires, if we are careful enough to ensure that that doesn't happen, and if we are also cautious enough to ensure that we are there for doing a particular service and not for any other purpose, then we can take care of that situation. But for most devotees, it's safe to avoid Mayavadi association. Now we shouldn't think, if somebody, now as we discussed earlier, there are Mayavadis and there are people under Mayavadi influence. That means those people are not Mayavadis, they just have some vague idea of spirituality or philosophy and they think the goal is to merge. But if they are given proper philosophical education, the basic questions are answered, then they actually have devotion in their heart and the devotion will manifest. So if that is the case, then we shouldn't deprive them of the Krishna conscious opportunity by labeling them as Mayavadi. They are simply under Mayavadi influence. But there are some people who are, you could say, in double quote, they know too much to be helped. Know is in double quote. That means they already think, I know what the Vedas teach, I know what the Upanishads teaches, I know what all this is about. And they have their own twisted logic, their own arguments, and they're not ready to listen to anything or anyone. If that is the case, then we can keep a safe distance from them. And we avoid their association. So the important point is that we make sure that our heart is going towards Krishna and our other's heart is going towards Krishna. There are many examples that when some Mayavadis would come to meet Srila Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada would be very cultured while dealing with them. Srila Prabhupada was sick for the first time in a major way in 1967-68. 66 he established ISKCON. Then he was in New York, then he went to San Francisco. Then after that, his health suffered a severe break. He almost had an attack and it was almost as if he might die at that time. So somehow he recovered. And then at that time, Mayavadi came to meet him to inquire about his health and everything. Prabhupada was very surprised. And Prabhupada told his disciple to get up and offer him the seat. And Prabhupada himself got up and he was lying down, he was very weak, but Prabhupada sat up and talked with him. And when Prabhupada offered him, he offered some fruits to Prabhupada. Prabhupada offered some fruits back to him. And then when he was about to go, Prabhupada got up to see him off. And he said, no, Swamiji, you take rest, you're not well. So it was a very cultured dealing. So, you know, that was a visit that Prabhupada got. Because although they were philosophically at loggerheads, you know, they saw that we are both trying to represent the same spiritual culture that comes from the Vedas. And it was a call of courtesy. And when there's a courtesy call, one has to respond properly. But Srila Prabhupada himself was, as far as the philosophy was concerned, he was uncompromising. And the philosophical point is that if there is intimate association, there can be contamination. But although there can be contamination, that doesn't mean that we become uncultured in our dealings with them. Where it is required, if we have to do something together, and that's the only way things will move forward. You know, in our situation, there are ways in which we can move forward without having to associate intimately with them. But if that is not possible in certain situations, we can move forward only with working on a common forum. Then at that time, we behave in a cultured way with them. But apart from that, we don't associate with them. So whenever we talk about Guhyam Akhyati Pruchyati, it is primarily with the devotees. Because by associating with devotees, the devotees' hearts are connected with Krishna, and by that connection, our heart will move closer to Krishna. So Prabhupada quotes from Chaitanya Charitamrita that Vishai Ranna Khaile Dushta Hai Man. So Prabhupada basically explains Guhyam Akhyati Pruchyati, Vadati Pratigranati, Bhungte Bhojayate, all these we should not do with Mayavadis. So never give or accept food. Vishai Ranna Khaile Dushta Hai Man. Dushta Hai Man. Na Krishna Rasmarana. So Vishai Ranna Khaile. When we eat the food that is given by materialistic people, then that contaminates our mind. And when our mind gets contaminated, then we get dragged down by that. Nahi Krishna Rasmana. Then remembering Krishna becomes very difficult. Therefore, what is important for us is to be able to make sure that our Krishna consciousness is nourished and others' Krishna consciousness is nourished. And as far as relationships are concerned, there are no rigid principles. In the sense that we have a broad understanding, but we cannot have a ironclad code of conduct of how one should behave in all situations. Krishna has given his intelligence, and we use it the best we can. And then after certain interactions, certain situations, we look back and learn from experience and then improve ourselves. So how if we have to deal with impersonal, is how we deal with it will depend on time, place, circumstance. But in general, devotee should have relationship with other devotees. And by that, we move forward closer and closer to Krishna. And in this way, all of us can happily march towards Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada gives example of how, with respect to charity. So, with respect to charity, he gives the example of the Dati principle means, Rupa Goswami gives, Rupa Goswami, he retired and he gave 50% charity to Krishna, 25% he kept for family, and 25% for personal and emergency purposes. So now, this may seem very difficult to practically apply. So in general, Srila Prabhupada in his books gives us the ideal. And as sadhaka, sometimes the ideal may seem so impractical. So the important point is not that we try to question the ideal or justify the real. It is that we try to move forward upwards. From wherever we are, we move forward gradually. And the ideal is not there to make us feel bad about what we are doing, whatever we are able to present, nor is the real there so that we can just stay stuck to it all the time. There is always, in every sadhaka's life, there is a gap between the ideal and the real. The important point is that the ideal shows us the pathway. So it is said in the spiritual life, there are the stars and there are the stairs. So we look at the stars and we move up the stairs. That means the stars may seem very, very high up, but the stairs are one step. Like that, we take steps upwards. And slowly by that, we move upwards towards Krishna and towards the Krishna conscious qualities that we want to develop. So, as devotees, we discussed earlier, the charity is something which we should all give. And how much we are able to give, that will depend on our time, place, circumstance. In general, we should be able to, when we talk about charity, one is certainly giving some amount to Krishna. But along with that, our devotional like life also involves certain expenses, going to the temple, arranging programs, and doing various Krishna conscious activities. So all these have to be taken care of, along with, of course, our material life. So how every devotee, each individual devotee adjusts this will depend on time, place, circumstance. So sometimes some devotees feel that actually, right now my financial situation is so bad that I can't give any charity. But in the future, I'll give charity. And when I have money, I'll give a huge amount of charity. But now I can't give anything. In general, this attitude, even if it is sincere, and sincerely intends to give charity in the future, it often happens that such an attitude is at the very least harmful to our spiritual life. And in some cases, it can be fatal. Because we have to understand, charity is not just an act. Charity is an attitude. Charity is not just an act, it is an attitude. Act means I go and give some donation. Attitude means I develop the ingrained understanding that whatever I am getting is a gift from Krishna and a part of it must be offered back to Krishna. So to the extent I develop that attitude of giving charity, to that extent I'll make spiritual advancement. And to the extent I don't develop that attitude, to that extent I won't be making spiritual advancement. So charity is not so much about the amount which I give, but it is the attitude that I cultivate. So it may be that because my financial situation is so bad that I can't give much charity, right? Fine. If I can't give much, then let me give little. But let me always try to stick to the principle that I give a part of my earnings to Krishna. So by this attitude, once this gets ingrained, then it will become a habit. So otherwise, if we don't have the habit of giving, then even when we get a lot of money also, we will not have the habit of giving, and at that time the mind will think of various reasons why we should not give now, we'll give in the future. Some devotees may argue that Rupa Goswami, actually he gave 50% only when he retired. It is not that throughout his life he was giving 50%. Now we don't know specifically how much he was giving throughout his life, but the fact is when he was living in Ramakeli, he was He was sustaining the devotional culture over there. Now we know he and Sanatana Goswami, they had built their own Vrindavan over there, click of Vrindavan. And they were supporting the Brahmanas over there, and they were making sure that the devotional culture went on. So they were surely doing all that they could with their position and influence to protect and promote the devotional culture. And that is the essence. Bhakti is not about haggling over figures. Bhakti is about transforming the heart. And we take inspiration from them. And then we move forward in our spiritual life. So again, here, these examples we take in mind so that we feel inspired, so that we feel motivated to keep ourselves moving in spiritual life. And by taking one step, one step, one step, we keep moving forward. Dadati pratigrahanati. Now, dadati pratigrahanati means that we give something and we get something in return. So if we give charity, what is it that we get in return? Now, in some cases, we may get some gifts. Sometimes those who give some charity for Sunday program, they may get a picture of Krishna. They may get some Mahaprasad garland. That is fine. That is actually dadati pratigrahanati at one level. But at a deeper level, now, as I said, when we give something that is very dear to us, to Krishna, then Krishna gets a place in our heart. And we move closer and closer to Krishna. When we can't give our heart to Krishna, we give what is in our heart to Krishna. And by that, we give Krishna a place in our heart. So, in general, as sadhakas, we practice this Guhyam Akhyati Pruchyati and Dadati Pratigrahanati Bhungte Bhojayate Chaiva with devotees who are like-minded. So, we'll discuss about a devotee association and about how to relate with the different levels of devotees in our future classes. Here the summary is that actually the six exchanges are the ways love is reciprocated. And there are those with whom we want to increase our loving relationships, and there are others with whom we have to be cautious, because those loving interactions may drag us down. So that's why both sides Srila Prabhupada talks and gives a very balanced understanding in his purport of how to move forward in our spiritual life. Thank you very much. Shri Upadesha Amrit Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.